Welcome back to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
Bill, what's going on today?
Hey, I'm not going to say it. Because you won't stop saying.
I know. It's kind of fun. It's Bill's birthday. Yeah. Just figured it out right before the show, so it's all real fresh. Happy fresh birthday. In my mind. So, what are you going to do, right? So, we're going to switch back now onto the topic of wolves. Today is like Cornucopia Sunday. We're doing a little wolves. We switched over to some Embrace Masculinity. Nice kid, too. Braden Sorbo, 23, fairly accomplished, and he's only 23.
Embrace masculinity. Go wolf hunting. No, I did not say that. I do not endorse.
We don't know who that man is. There's some man in the other room.
It's just a joke.
It's just a joke.
Just a joke.
It's a good one. But no, I mean, I think they do kind of go together. So we've got Edward and Jessica back with us, and they're going to give us some on-the-ground you know, for all those people who think that the wolves don't interact with people and no one's, because that's what we were told, no one's ever going to see them. They will be out in the wilderness. How's that? I don't know which one of you wants to start off, but how is no one's ever going to see them and they're not going to impact our livestock at all? What's your assessment of that and what would you like to share with us? Don't everybody speak at once.
Well, I should start, Edward here.
I know you guys are in different places, so I'm sorry.
A little over a year ago, one of my neighbors has a daughter, 10, 12 years old. She was out, her and one of her girlfriends walking around how little kids do on the ranch, and they come running back to some of their family and said, hey, there's three wolves over there, and this is by houses. And a quarter mile from where they were camped at, and the parents was like, there's no wolves here. They just travel through once in a while. So they went down and looked, and sure enough, here was some wolf tracks. But since then, and that girl, the one of them is a type 1 diabetic, and so she can ride her horse and play with her cows, and they had some goats and stuff, and so she could go out and play with animals like all kids have done in my whole lifetime growing up. And her family's got her aunt. And now she can't go out and play with her horses and animals without one or two adults there just in case the wolves come around, because horses react a lot differently. And it's pretty sad because with her type 1 diabetes, it really helped her blood sugar level the numbers and keep them lower with a lot less insulin. So, I mean, that's been a year there. That's one instance that's affected their whole lifestyle, because when her friends want to go ride their horses, it used to be just go ride your horses and have fun.
Now it involves everybody.
Everybody's got to stop what they're doing to go help the kids, and it's great to be around the kids, but sometimes on ranches there's other things you got to work on. And then I know another neighbor that had several wolves come in and chase his cows through fences, and it's a job security for the ranch hands because they always keep tearing up the fences and not counting the amount of livestock that is getting injured or killed by these wolves.
See, that's the thing.
I know in Modoc there's one rancher that's got one confirmed kill, and he says his and his crew can prove they have 19 kills last year in 24.
And so, well,
yeah, that's 24 kills. That's financially, that's a fairly large impact on your operation. And of course,
his was 19 kills in the year 24, if I spoke.
Yeah. And of course, they got reimbursed for that, didn't they?
They have gotten no money reimbursed for none of that in that particular case.
I hear Jessica's head exploding on the other line.
Exactly. You know, they tell us this is the wolf lovers, that this is the cost of doing business. It would be like a mom-and-pop grocery store, and somebody comes in and takes a third of their inventory, and they're told to observe it or absorb it. It's not equitable. And not only that, you have the extra cost of hiring extra labor or doing the labor yourself. I've got one story. There was a young woman, newlywed. She moved down from Wyoming to a family ranch in Siskiyou, and she and her husband were on a remote. Their house was very remote. It took a while to get there on dirt roads. They had a big hay pivot in the middle, and every morning before they went to the main ranch, she would go for a walk around the hay pit with her dogs. Well, one morning, she went out. She had four of her dogs with her, and the dogs started acting odd, and she looked up, and there was four big wolves trotting nearby her, and she managed to have cell service, which in this area is amazing. And she got her husband on the phone. He hadn't left for his parents' place yet, and he was able to come and get her and the dogs. Earlier that morning at a farm, that same group of wolves was seen, and they had been killing. And we assume it was the same group because it was just a couple of hours earlier, and those wolves can just long trot and cover a lot of territory. But we are all just altering our lifestyle for this.
Yeah, and for, you know, we can get to this at some point. I don't know if you want to do it now, but the idea that they are subsisting on wildlife is...
It's a fallacy.
Yeah.
I would think it's a heck of a lot easier to catch a cow than it is to bring down an elk or...
chase deer around.
Chase deer. I mean, let's go grab a cow. They're slow. They can't defend themselves. And they have babies that they can take down with ease.
Yeah.
No, very much so. And there's been studies that say that once they start eating cattle, that pretty much made up their diet. They won't go back to game for those very reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And... there's been recent studies of a scat from the whaleback pack, which affects Siskiyou County and parts of Modoc, that 70% of their scat is made up of beef DNA. And like I said, once they train their young to eat cattle, then their young are going to train their young to eat cattle. It's just non-ending.
So what does Fish and Wildlife say about that when they come up with a study that shows 70% is made up of beef, what's their response?
Nothing. We are on our own. The producers, people that raise livestock, we feel like that we're in enemy territory, that you know, we've been invaded, and there's no help for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. A year ago, they would tell us to scare them away, chase them, harass them, make them leave your property. And then in that Altus meeting, they said, no, you can't harass them and can't scare them or can't threaten the wolves or can't harass them to make them leave you alone. So the only legal methods we can do is droning them, which they recommended. But now that's harassing because it gets their blood pressure up. If they're scared of a drone, some of them will just lay down and look at the drone and not do nothing because they're so used to them. And the flattery, but by their own words, none of them methods are effective.
Mm-hmm. So what's the what's the penalty if you harass a wolf, in their words?
I don't know what the harassment penalty is, but if you kill one, it's 2 years mandatory imprisonment and a $100,000 fine, to my understanding.
Wow.
That's on the harassment side. I don't know. I only know on the killing side, but I'm assuming it would be along the similar lines, the way they talked at the Altus meeting.
Well, and the other part of this is that we shouldn't, you know, forget about is the cost. Just the cost to our ranchers, whether they're raising beef or they're raising poor sheep. I mean, geez, we were schooled on that a long time ago. They spend their whole lives trying to find a way to die. and then you introduce wolves, it's like, well, I think we've got that handled. What's
the public is under the assumption that if you say you're a rancher, you're the equivalent with what you see on the movies or TV, that you're Yellowstone, that you're just richer than God. And that's not true.
Yeah.
It's the profit margin is very slim. And people are taking hours out of their days to deal with these wolves. And they don't have the funds. You know, we started with the folks with the wolf program when they began, not Beat Hope, but at least some assistance, when they had the three phases, phase one, two, and three. And, you know, phase two allowed for, you could hire an extra employee just to keep the wolves out of the area. And one person in a lot of these ranches isn't going to do any good because this is range cattle. This isn't little tidy pastures.
Yeah, that's true. Give people an idea, like how much ground could potentially, I mean, I realize, you know.
Well, some people I know, their summer range goes over 150 square miles. That sounds like, oh my goodness, they have a gazillion head of cattle. Well, the people that I know of that are running on that 150 square miles, they are running 165 pair. And Ray can tell you that if you're running 165 pair, it's going to be a pretty tight profit and loss.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a gravy train.
But they're spread around, you know, all that kind of mileage, and the idea that you could hire one range rider to go out there and keep the wolf. I mean, especially if you've got wolves. Wolves are an apex predator for a reason. You know, we call them that. They operate in teams. They're wolves, for heaven's sakes. They're pretty sneaky. So,
well, they're very smart. And one of the examples I had was back when phase two, when there was money for range riders, as we'll call them, one rancher hired a man and a woman, put a camp trailer at a feed ground for yearlings that they had weaned. This was in December, and the cattle were going to ship in January. So they had 30 days to get some weight put on. So this couple would watch the wolves come down the mountain on private ground, get in the pens with the cattle. Now, there was over 2,000 head of cattle in these pens. Till they would, okay, you've got an area where there's 200 or 2,000 head of cattle. That's not something that you can see all at once, and not something that you can cover quickly, especially when it's in rocks and on a hillside.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It's an old flat.
So in the dark, they'd hear a commotion. They'd go see the little devils looking at them in the pens, chase them out of that pen. And before they could get their wits about them, they'd hear a commotion on the opposite side, and they'd be killing over there.
Wow.
And then now there's no funds for that. So now the 91-year-old rancher is going out at night by himself. He has cancer, and he's trying to protect, well, the yearlings have shipped now, but when they were there, the yearlings and the cows that are calving. And they're playing ring around the rosy with us. You can't keep up with them. And they're smart. They're very smart.
Well, yeah, they identify the threat and just go somewhere else. And when you move, then they move back. They don't leave the area.
Yeah.
The food's there.
No, just shifting around.
Yeah, they're just going to move around.
We have to take a really quick break. When we come back, Edward, I want you to give us some idea on cost. I've spoken with you before on some of the increased cost. I just think it's staggering and bears discussion. So, chatting about wolves again, we'll be chatting about wolves a lot. So, if you want to know more about wolves, you should head to the webpage. I've got a page brewing with shows that go back to, like, I think 2013 or something, and we'll add this one to it as well. You can find that at wethepeopleradio.us.
Hey!
that I see walking in these woods.
Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want.
Listen to me,
Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah, not to put too fine a point on it, but we had those stories in the old country to scare children because wolves were dangerous. And apparently now, I haven't looked it up. Somebody was telling me that the children's stories now that involve wolves, the wolves are all friendly. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. God bless America. Eat what grass. The heck?
I was actually told one of them, they made the pigs look like a bad animal now. I have not read it myself. But
oh, the pigs are the bad guys now?
That is what I was told. A friend of mine has a daughter that's small, and he said, yeah, no, the pigs are bad in the new one.
Nice. Nice. The wolves are good, the pigs are bad. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll find that. I'm going to post it on the page because that kind of stuff is just crazy.
Yeah, let's talk about the cost of the producers. And, I mean, if nothing else, maybe people will realize why price of beef is so high, and it's going to get higher.
Yeah, get ready.
If you can't raise them, it's going to be bad.
Well, on one specific ranch, I know very well. I know all the people involved. I've sat down with them and went over their time logs and all of the things they've done here in Modoc County. And in year 2024, they hired additional 1,200 man hours of extra people, not counting their normal employees, just to come in and help the range riders, wolf patrol, they called it. But I guess the proper term is range riders. One of the guys was driving a side-by-side, and he put 3,300 miles on a side-by-side in about 5 months.
Wow.
And that's just going around and looking for wolf tracks. And I know they've done that because they have several trail cameras up. And part of their deal was they would make him go by the trail cameras, so they made sure everybody was doing their job and nobody was cutting corners. And then the boss there and his employees that they normally have took 1,612 additional hours away from taking care of the ranch and the cows to help on the wolf patrol range rider. And that's taking them away from their normal duties of irrigation to doctoring and checking cows to just go try to keep the wolves out of the cows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you can't keep them out, what's the point of doing all the rest of it when they're just going to get killed?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's almost 2,800 hours, just a little bit over, that they've got documented, not counting a few times that you have phone calls or meetings or trying to help the neighbors decide if it's a wolf or not in their area. And then I know they repaired the fence several times in that one-quarter-mile stretch. They finally had to move them cows because, like, 2 or 3 weeks in a row last spring in 24, them wolves would chase the cows through the same fence. It must have been a spot that the wolves like to chase and get them because they fixed that fence really good, and then 2 days later it'd be tore down again.
And then they're tearing the fences down, running from the wolves,
trying to get away. And usually when they would do that, they'd have one or two calves that would come up missing, and they would call it in, and they said, well, you got the carcass? Well, no, it's ate up, and there's wolf tracks and wolf scat, but there's no carcass. Well, then we can't even do an investigation.
So you can just sign that one off.
Yeah, you signed a bunch of them off, these guys did. And then he hired a drone service. I know he hired one guy and his wife for 8 days to come out and fly drones when the wolves were really active, when you were seeing them almost every day. And that was $350 a day to hire the guy and his wife. And so they talked to Kent Loudon, and he said, yeah, buy your own drone, and we'll reimburse you for it from Fish and Wildlife Services. Well, they did, and it was $1,500 or just under, and with the batteries and everything. And, again, they tell you to do all of these things and do this flagery. And in Modoc County, nobody that I know of has received any funding from any of these programs. but it cost that individual rancher out of his pocket $100,000, which he's a smaller rancher, and that's not counting the loss of the value of the beef, just the extra cost.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
And if you start hitting these ranchers like that, they support a lot of money to the small communities. I mean, taking their family and their workers to dinners or buying the extra stuff at the grocery store to support the volunteer fire departments and medical services in these small communities. We all live off of donations to these things and fundraisers. And as a small rancher, that's the first thing that they're going to have to cut is the extra community support.
Yeah. Well, I it seems to only affect, this is like, I think the, I don't know, the calculus, that it doesn't affect that many people. And I think when the agencies and the people in the rest of the state look at it, it's kind of like, well, it's not my problem. You know, it's not something that's going to be a problem for them. And I really, it's really funny. We talk about the food chain, but I guess maybe we forget how it works. Like, they think meat really does come from the store. I mean, how can people stay in business? Are you watching? Are you talking? You guys, either one of you, are you visiting with people in your community that are, you know, not sure if they're going to be able to continue?
A lot of them. Even the bigger ranchers, they realize unless something changes, they're all doomed. All doomed. And it's a case of, it's like, Aaron, if a gang came into your home, into your yard, tore up your yard, came in, raided your refrigerator, took your clothes out of your closet, robbed your piggy bank, and they left, and then they come back in a couple of days and do it all over again, and you can't do anything. And if you're home, all you can do is watch them do it.
Yeah, and your hands are tied, by the way.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's got people stressed, and a lot of the ranchers are small family ranchers. There's no and Siskiyou, the ones that I've talked to, are not corporate ranchers. They are family ranchers. Some of them multi-generational. And they're fighting. It's a struggle to stay in ranching these days with all the regulations and all the increased costs.
Well, that's true. We haven't even discussed any of that.
Right. And, you know, you look through books written on this area, on Siskiyou County, on Modoc County, on Klamath County, that were written during the times of the first explorations. You don't see anything written about the explorers, Fremont, etc., coming into contact with wolves. You don't hear things so much in the native people about contact with wolves in their petroglyphs. You might see a weasel. You might see a bird. You don't see a wolf.
So if they were there, they were taking care of business out of human contact.
And there weren't many.
Yeah, there weren't many.
And back to that California wolf sitter. If they're raising them and turning them loose, these wolves are acclimated to people.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and that's what the collars will do, too. You know, we haven't even touched that. You know, they want them all collared. But here was a thing somebody sent me from the California Wolf Center. How CWC is returning wolves to the wild. They're creating a sustainable future, as soon as you hear that, you know, sustainable anything, right? In which wolves and people share a healthy ecosystem. Cue the music. Through captive breeding, wild release, and public education, we work to ensure that wolves, livestock, and people can peacefully thrive in today's world. Yeah.
That's not happening.
It's a 501c3, so people are giving them money. Stop doing that, by the way.
And so when they collar these wolves, I'm assuming that the collars are battery-powered. So do they have to capture them and replace the batteries?
Yes. But the problem is, in our area, there are currently three collared wolves. One's collar is to die this summer. So... come twice a day to the government, morning and afternoon. The producers are informed one time a day. And until recently, that information would come hours after the morning peeing. Now it's more timely because the producers have demanded it. They are not informed twice a day. Now, these wolves can travel, according to the government, up to 25 miles a day.
Wow.
So if you hear that he's in Aaron's yard at 6 o'clock this morning, and you don't get another ping for 24 hours, well, he could be 25 miles away in somebody else's yard. And that's mm-hmm. what's happening. And then when the information is given out, the location of the ping, it's very, very vague. They'll put an area that could be 10 miles long, 15 miles long. My favorite is when they say, they're in Red Rock Valley. Red Rock Valley is 15 miles long. There are multiple
narrows
ranches.
Narrows it down?
Yeah, and there's multiple ranches.
Why can't they give a specific spot for that?
Good
for
question,
that animal?
Bill.
I don't know. It's above my pay grade.
Well, they don't want to, for one.
I think that's the big thing.
They don't want people to know where they are. And, you know, because I know because I heard them in those meetings. You know, the wolf lovers, they wanted that to be real time because they want wolf tourism. They want to go.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, they want to go watch them so they can just trespass on everybody's ground and get gobbled up.
That is horrifying to all producers.
Yeah, could you imagine? I mean, how dangerous is that? The other little piece of this that we have not hit is the disease that they're carrying. Anybody want to tackle that one? It's my favorite. I'll put pictures up.
Yeah, you're better versed on that than I am, but I do know that I've heard that some of the wolves are showing in their testing that they have been vaccinated for parvo. Interesting.
No, totally. Don't we vaccinate all the wild animals?
Yeah.
There is that one that if you smell it or it gets on humans, it can go to your domestic dogs, to your pet kitty cat, or yourself, and it, like, messes with your brain, and it can kill you very painfully. It's a very bad, I forget the name of it.
Is that the E. granulosis?
There you go. That's the one.
That's my favorite, because the pictures, I got to show people pictures of that at a Farm Bureau dinner last night. nothing goes with food like a hydatid tumor photo. Yeah, I was like, oh, check this out. If you go out in the woods, and see, that's the thing. That's the truly alarming part, because, you know, you look at it and you think, well, okay, maybe you don't care about, maybe you don't eat meat, right? So you think, well, who cares? I don't care if the meat goes sky high. Hooray, more people not eating meat. I don't care about, you know, kids who live in rural areas. Well, that makes you a monster, but okay. So they don't care about that. They don't, all these things, right? You scribble them off one by one. However, do you ever intend to go out on public land, for instance? Do you intend to go hiking ever? Camping, any of those things. So you're out walking. Well, if wolves have been in that area, especially as the prevalence increases, they leave that parasite. It's a parasite. And there it is on your shoes, on your coat, on your camp gear or whatever, and you take that home. I'll post the pictures. So just in case you need to be afraid or scare somebody else, I'll put them on there for you, because it's alarming. And that will go back to the cities. So people who don't even live in rural areas will be impacted by this eventually. Because they're talking, you know, kind of no top end on this wolf business. But at one point, I can't remember, did you guys tell me that, or were we all standing there, where they said they think that Siskiyou and Modoc County, the two northernmost counties at the center and the top east corner of California, if you're not familiar with the counties in our state. So these are the two that border on Oregon, that are not on the coast. those two counties, they think can handle 500 wolves.
That is what they said. Axel and them have repeated that.
Yeah.
And they admit the game will not support that population. And there's more, there are more being seen than are counted in the official numbers for the state of California. I think we were told at a recent meeting there were 77 in the state. I've been getting reports, you know, from different people, like from 7 o'clock in the morning till noon, of over 50 counted in various parts of this county.
Wow.
That's been a scene. And they're not like, okay, in my yard, in my neighbor's yard. They're across the county. So there's a lot we're not, the government doesn't even know. But we're being lied to.
Well, it's like the two in Hack Creek that killed some cattle there a couple weeks ago. They didn't even have them in the DNA database. They're a completely new pack or a new strain of wolves. So that they're even admitting they don't know how many's here.
Mm. Well, and I always maintain, even if they picked a number, right, and said we can have no more than 100, I guarantee you that the number would never get over 99.
Exactly, in their count.
Yeah, they're always going to say, "Oh, too bad, we're only at 99. Can't pull the pin on that."
Well, they moved the goalpost, as I've been told. The goalpost keeps moving. It's just like when they did the wolf territory map over a year ago. When that map came out, I did have a very good contact in Sacramento at CDFW. That contact was moved to a different department because they actually cared about the producer and were trying to figure out a way to make it so that we could live with them. Well, anyway, they excluded everything east of Highway 97, even though everybody living east of Highway 97 in Siskiyou County had seen them, knew they were killing. There were confirmed kills. But suddenly that didn't matter anymore.
So, and what was the excuse for that? Just out of curiosity.
Well, they don't give excuses.
Okay.
They just... I had the contact, I brought this to their attention. As soon as they started looking into it, they were moved to a different department.
Dang.
Hmm. Problem solved.
I think it was a coincidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, just a coincidence.
So it begs the question, when these producers throw up their hands and say, you know what, I'm out. I'm going to go somewhere where there aren't wolves, or I'm not going to be in this business anymore. You're still left with a bunch of hungry wolves, and what are they going to eat then?
Bill, are you using logic?
Well, no, I didn't mean to.
Bill is using darn it! I already
Aaron,
picked. Was that?
Kind of hit on that a little bit ago when you said about how people walking in the nature are going to pick up the disease.
Yep.
Well, when these people from the Bay Area and the cities, a lot of very nice people, that come up to go there weekend getaway camping or week camping up here in the hills to enjoy the lake and the sunset and Mother Nature, a lot of these camping spots are right where these wolves are killing livestock and killing wildlife, and a person's going to be an easy food.
Sure.
Especially
when a kid. You have a little kid out there or a family, they're not going to pick on the adults. They're going to grab the little ones that they can grab. And
well, I was just I was just reading on what is it? Snow White's what's this thing called? Snow White's blog or something like that. I attached it just for the reading enjoyment of our folks online. SnowWhiteWrites.com, and they said that they never impact humans. There's no crossover.
Isn't there, like in the last couple of weeks, I think it was Colorado. There was a 61 or 63-year-old woman who was killed by a canine attack.
Hmm.
Out hiking. And, of course, it's highly, they believe it was wolves because she was partially eaten. And, but there's been no confirmation that it was wolves or just a pack of wild dogs.
Right. Like it matters.
Yeah, there's a lot of those running around.
Yeah. So, yeah, here you go. This will send us into the break or into full insanity. But here they write, this might surprise you, but wolves aren't actually dangerous to human beings. In fact, archaeological evidence suggests that human hunter-gatherers and wild wolves had a symbiotic relationship. Bet they did. It was a game called Run and Chase. Hunters would follow wolf packs to find wild game, and the humans would leave lots of scraps for the wolves to eat in return. So humans were providing the food for wolves because, you know, that's the way we did it back then. Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
So we have to take a quick break. Lower
our ridiculous,
isn't it? Yes, I put that on there so people could read it for themselves. And we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I can't get these memories out of my mind. And some kind of madness has started to evolve. I tried so hard to let you go, but some kind of madness is swallowing me whole. Yeah.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. Without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much. Does that make me crazy? Does that make me crazy? Does that make me crazy? Possibly.
Yep, I learned too much, and it made me crazy. Because the last line in that little excerpt I was reading for you, it says, it wasn't until humans began to farm and form agricultural communities that we began to prefer domesticated dogs as our companions and breed animals for food rather than relying on hunting alone. Here it comes. Unsurprisingly, this is also when our relationship with the wolf unraveled.
Jeez.
So, bottom line, it was agriculture. That's what did it. Made us all wolf haters. It wasn't the fact that they were, you know, attacking people and animals and everything else. That wasn't it. We used to love them until, you know, till farmers ruined everything. It blows my mind that that's even something you could find online in a casual search. So, what are you guys hearing in your own communities? Are pretty people seem pretty mad right now? You think that'll last, or you think it'll just kind of?
People are scared, probably,
yeah,
more than mad.
That's what I was worried about.
Which today, Sunday, so it was, I think it was Friday night or Thursday evening. There was a wolf, roughly 50 feet from the people's house by their dog kennels, and they've got pictures of it. And that's over there in Lassen County at Dixie Valley. And then a few days before in the little town of Aiden, the wolf was 30 feet from the people's front door. And if their little 3-year-old girl was outside in the yard where she normally likes to play in the daylight,
The
weather's nice and sunny, she's out there with her dog. And I imagine the wolf coming through sees a dog. It's predator area or food either way, or just to kill for fun, because these wolves kill for fun. That little girl and dog would have been gone. And how I see, they leave no traces of calves and 500-pound calves. They eat so much of the bone if they want to. A little kid and a pet would be gone in minutes, and people are literally scared for their lives and their families. I mean, it's life-altering what families have to do in these rural areas.
Yeah, because I saw a picture some folks had up there in MacArthur, and there are wolf tracks, I don't know the distance, but not very far from the trampoline and the house. And so you could tell it was the whole area where their kids would play.
So in my area, I think it's more scared, and then we are getting worried because a lot of us volunteer for the fire department, the medical services in these small communities. So if people come up for the summer vacations and they're hiking, camping, I mean, we may get a lot more calls that so-and-so's missing. Well, you go looking for them and there's wolf tracks in the area. I mean, it's going to be a lot harder doing your searches and what's going to happen to some of these people. I mean, their pets and their kids, even the adults. I mean, they better pack a weapon to defend themselves, and hopefully they go to a school to get trained to use it properly so to defend themselves if these predators do come in.
And on that note, they've told us you have to prove that you were in fear for your life.
Wow.
Okay,
so just saying you're
how are you gonna do that?
So I mean, people are scared. They're frustrated, worried. They're under stress 24/7, day and night.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think it's probably going to take somebody's child disappearing before they do anything about it. And maybe then they won't do anything because, again, you can't prove it was a wolf.
Exactly.
That's just insane that they would allow that to continue when you have proof that they're right there in your yard. I mean, that's dangerous.
Well, the one up, Edward, maybe you can help us. I don't know how long that wolf was up in Lake County, Oregon, OR-158, before they sent him to his forever home by helicopter.
Well, they collared him in the spring of 24, clear up on the Idaho-Oregon border, but in the Oregon side.
Okay.
And then he spent a lot of the summer in Silver and Summer Lake. He come down into Lake County middle of December that I know for sure, and probably a little before. And then he traveled clear down into Modoc County, and they thought he was going, the California Fish and Wildlife biologist thought he was going to go down to Lassen Pack or Sinyo Pack down that way, the way he was headed. And then he turned and he was over in Canby on the 23rd of December where there was a heifer killed. And by the Oregon biologist, they said, hey, go check there. We think there's something dead because he spent 4 or 5 hours. He stopped right in a little spot. So when the ranchers checked, there was a killed heifer that weighed 700 or 800 pounds. However, when the DNA came back, it was from a different pack of the wolves, part of the Wells backpack. And so everybody's assumption is the wolves got met in an area, probably got howling and found each other and met and got in a fight, because then that wolf, OR-158, went like 35 miles that next day on the 23rd straight back to the Oregon border. And then out on Devil's Garden, but he was going straight north where he was wandering, zigzagging, and he went straight. And then he was in Lake County, and by them people's houses, I mean, they shot a shotgun over him. He didn't scare. They droned him. He would just lay down, and they would miss him in the grass if they didn't see him in the brush, and killed several cattle in probably 10 days. He was frightening everybody. I mean, they had put pictures of him in their yards, and so the feds came in and took care of him.
But it took a lot for it to get to that point.
Oh, probably 30 days of every day people calling and being frightened. And I think there was 9 or 10 confirmed kills that he did and several more suspect.
I don't know how many, I don't know what their prevalence is up there with wolves. Do you have any idea what the number is up there?
I don't.
The only reason I'm asking is, you know, they'll admit that there are, what I've seen, 77 wolves or something? But that's dispersed.
In California, yeah.
Yeah, that's dispersed throughout the state. So, you know, they. I think the prevailing sentiment is if for every one you count, there are probably two or three more. Is it three total or one plus three more?
Well, they say for every kill, there's 5 to 8
there's
more
that you
yep. will find. And I've been to several meetings in California and Oregon from people, you know, that have organized it from Wyoming and Montana and Canada. And they tell us that, I lost my train of thought. I guess I'll just go on to something different. But anyway, you won't see them. That was the point. They say you rarely will see them. Well, in Siskiyou County, they're seeing them in the daylight.
Right.
You're hearing them in the daylight. You're hearing them at night. And that's pretty bold.
Well, they've lost their fear of humans. And so I guess they don't really care if the people are standing around. If there's a four-legged meal standing there, they're going to go eat it.
So we should hit, before we run out of time, we should hit the idea because, you know, when Bill just said that, I could hear somebody listening going, well, why don't they just go shoot them? They need to just go shoot them. Maybe you guys could explain why that's not just as easy as it sounds.
Well, most people don't care to wear an orange jumpsuit. And, even when this first started, Aaron, at some of those very first meetings, the state told us, yeah, you guys go ahead and take care of this. We're waiting. We'll make an example of you.
Yeah.
So,
I wouldn't put it past them either.
No, people are worried, very worried.
Well, in the last week, one of my neighbors, a good friend of mine, he got in a disagreement or difference of opinion with the wolf biologist because he had some kills, and they confirmed they were potential kills, but they took them away once they got the DNA results because it comes back that it's wolf. I mean, that it's coyote or dog, and there's no wolf DNA there. Even though his crew saw some wolves in a 4.5-inch footprint. So he told Axel, well, that means if it's dog or coyote, that means we can shoot the problem so they don't kill no more. And Axel says, no, you can't shoot it because it could be a wolf. Well, if the DNA is saying it's a coyote or a wild dog, it should be allowed to shoot it. So him and Axel done talking.
And Axel, we should point out, is the local wolf biologist.
Yeah, the coordinator biologist, the head one.
Or whatever they're.
And then that afternoon, he receives a phone call from Chris Stutes, which is the head law enforcement officer for Fish and Wildlife, and says, absolutely, you will not be killing them, or we will come and take care of you and arrest you and get you in trouble for it because it could be a wolf. And the guy, I was there when he was on the phone with Chris and said, well, if it's a dog or a coyote, how could we get in trouble? Well, we do know there is wolves in that area.
Huh.
So they're kind of playing both sides. They're trying to push somebody, in my opinion, to go to that extreme to do something so they can make an example out of that person. And also scare them people in Modoc, Lassen, Siskiyou, Sierra, all of these counties that are kind of finally sticking together in the safety of the public, the safety of their livestock, working to come to some kind of a resolution.
We're going
to
have to
get the people to shut up.
We will do more on this. How about that? We'll leave it at that. So our friends out in the ranching community, we're hanging with you, and we'll make sure and get the word out. This won't be the last program we'll do on this. Thank you guys for spending the day with us, and I told you to go fast. We're out of time. You're listening to We the People. You can find this commercial-free later today at wethepeopleradio.us.
You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay. We got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down. We can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for
for good.